Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Yogi Roth, our next guest, Renaissance man, Pac-12 football analyst joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you today? Where's Yogi?
I'm in Venice Beach right now.
Pretty nice?
It's beautiful. Yeah. Perfect day. Waves are up. All is good in SoCal.
Are you a surfer?
Yeah. When I finished playing at Pitt, I actually moved to Australia and played over there because I wasn't good enough for the NFL and fell in love with living on the water, surfing every day, and had to find my way to the West Coast when I came back and got lucky and made my way to L.A. and S.C. and haven't left ever since, man.
I always feel like I have to be within, you know, a short drive of the ocean or water. I don't think I could live landlocked permanently.
Yeah, no, there's something about that. I talk to Coach Carroll about that all the time, you know, and, you know, you dive into the psychology of the water and, you know, the ions from the sand. There's a million, you know, great examples of what that does for you. But I think once you get a taste of it, you know, I've always told my friends, if I started coaching at Iowa State, I'd probably still be doing it. But since I started at SC in LA, I got a taste of the beach and it's going to be hard for me to ever leave this.
Yogi Roth is our guest. He's with the Pac-12 Network as a football analyst. You've done a lot of things, writing, you've been on Vision Quest, you've been an actor and director. What was the TED Talk stuff like for you?
Oh, it was really magical, man. I did it with a friend named Alexis Jones, who you need to meet. Her and I just did a film. We're actually going to screen it at the Pac-12 Networks on Friday. It's called Protect Her. It's about how athletes can be the cure to stopping sexual violence on college campuses instead of the problem. And I know you talked to Brenda Tracy about that stuff a lot. So we'll make sure we get you a link of that. But she invited me to do it. She was doing it in Austin, and it was TEDx Women. And it was actually the most ever seen online in TEDx history, which was pretty rad. And for me, I was trying to think of what story to tell. And I talked about the biggest heartbreak in my life. And I built this whole story up about how I met this individual. I met this thing when I was a kid and we fell in love. And then before you know, we went to college together and we slept in the same bed together. And then at Christmas in 2004, she bailed me. And the whole audience, their jaw was kind of on the ground. Like, I can't believe she'd do that. And then I revealed that it was football. And that had been, you know, kind of my love and married that with the story of my grandparents who were both Holocaust survivors and talked about how they always said that, you know, you'd rather love and give than hold on and hate. And I thought that was a cool message to play within the game, because when you leave the game, as you know, you can have a bitter taste in your mouth if it doesn't go as you planned when you were a kid. And I never kind of wanted to go down that road.
It's interesting because, you know, when you said that your grandparents were Holocaust survivors, that, you know, all I can think about when you say that is Sean Spicer in the White House press corps and that whole incident. And I'm just slapping my forehead going, how could he say that? And I know he came out and apologized and stuff after, but he said he was apologizing to anybody who was offended. How did you take what he said, and was the apology enough?
Well, look, I mean, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. You know, you and I would do it all the time on our shows or our games or whatever. That to me was clearly ignorant. You know, I just got back from Amsterdam and I went to the Anne Frank Museum for the first time. And, you know, when you grow up in a home where your dinner is across the table from, you know, my grandfather had 8 machine gun holes in his upper left shoulder and played dead for 2 days and a gypsy saved him. You know, and back in the day, gypsies were seen as people you never wanted to be around, right? So the ultimate, you know, show of, you know, there are no lines, there are no difference of opinions, regardless of race or religion or creed or color. And I learned that as a kid, man. So to hear him say that, I was disgusted, you know. But you look at wherever you lean politically, I mean, there's going to be disagreements. I mean, one of the few positives I look at this election, and whether it's the daily Sean Spicer, you know, unique remarks, is that we get to see a part of this country that, you know, some of us, you know, at least for me, I never really wanted to look at. Well, it's there. So, you know, like my dad has always taught me, go have the conversation. You know, so I could be pissed and I could be frustrated and I could complain to all my friends and we could have a big hoorah here in Venice Beach because everybody's left of center. Yeah. Or I could sit across from somebody who is right of center or maybe thinks that the Holocaust actually didn't occur. or whatever the argument is, and say, you know what, just talk to me and tell me why you feel that way. And that's what I would do if I ever had a chance to meet Sean Spicer.
Yogi Roth, Pac-12 football analyst, is our guest. You know, Willie Taggart brought the Ducks up to Portland, had a scrimmage. It was obviously a get-to-know-Willie day, and 3,000 fans showed up. It was good for Willie Taggart. What is he up against with a program in his first year that maybe he doesn't know?
Well, it's the conference, you know, and you talk to any first-time head coach in this conference when they get in here. It's, you know, you could talk to whether it was Chris Peterson his first year or Jim Mora's first year. I mean, anybody who comes outside of the footprint, specifically, I mean, Willie clearly outside the footprint the last couple of years, it's so much better than you think. I mean, every week. So I look at them and, you know, you look at Nebraska and Wyoming week 2 and 3, you know, you got to win those games, you know, just to put yourself in position. You're going to go on the road to an ASU team. And I just watched their spring game on the Pac-12 Network this morning, and they're pretty good. You know, they got players. I think their personnel is better than Oregon. So I think that's always the surprise is, wow, every week it just keeps hitting you with haymakers time and time and time again. And I can't wait to see him deal with that because it is a different level. I mean, you see it when coordinators come in and they come in from smaller schools and they got away with certain things at their school. Well, the athletes are better. The schemes are better. I don't want to necessarily say the coaches are more, you know, football intelligent, but the schemes are more intricate at times and guys can do more. You know, this conference gets lit up a lot for being pass happy, but you look at some of the defensive players coming back this year. I think this conference is as good as it's been defensively from a personnel standpoint in a while across the board. And there's a lot of all-conference type of talent. And I'm looking at Oregon State and all those outside backers that played. I mean, they're gifted players. And then I look at the opposite of SC, and I think the best defensive player in the conference might be Achenna Nwosu, who the majority of your listeners may not even know. I mean, he's going to be a freak this year. So that to me is, you know, those are the two things that I think you don't really get prepared for until you see it in person.
You know, Gary Anderson said something just like that yesterday where he was talking and said, like, he thought the conference was good, but then he got in it and kind of looked around on a week-to-week basis and suddenly realized he couldn't win a game because he didn't have the talent. And I think he feels like he's there. Do you think Oregon State could be a surprise team, or are they still off the pace?
No, I do. No doubt. I've called so many of their games. We did the drive, obviously, on the Pac-12 Network his first year. So we're kind of embedded in the program with that documentary series. And I look at them off the bat, and why couldn't they go 4-0? Realistically, why not? You know, obviously they got to get good at quarterback, right?
And yeah.
The past game and what we saw in the spring game, clearly it's just a taste. But, you know, Jake Luton's the guy. You know, they bring in the young receiver. They're clearly going to be better on defense. Okay, you beat Portland State. You assume they could beat Minnesota at Wazoo. I wouldn't be surprised if they won the game at Colorado State. Now we're 4-0. Think about that. That's pretty impressive. I would pick them to win those games. So I think they're going to go to a bowl game this year, to be honest, just because I've seen the development of the temperament of the team. I mean, so much in this Pac-12 comes down to a couple plays, and they're not always in the fourth quarter when fans are glued into the game. It's a third down. It's a special teams play. It's not going out of bounds. It's all of the – I call it fundamental football intelligence. And not a lot of teams across the country have it because in high school, I don't think they develop it a lot because it's so much pitch and catch. It's a different game. They've really developed that there with young players that played early, and they compete their tails off when you watch the film and break it down snap by snap. So I think they go to a bowl game this year. I think they battle every team ridiculously competitively, kind of like Colorado 2 years ago. You know, they wouldn't surprise me to kind of be on that pseudo trajectory. And if they can get hot and find a QB in 2 years with all those players now as third year players on the defensive side, they might be able to make a little bit of noise.
You're listening to the Pac-12 football analyst Yogi Roth here on the game. Yogi, the rest of this conference, we have teams that we don't generally talk about a lot. We always talk about USC or Oregon or Washington. Is there another sleeper that you see that you think is dangerous this next year, Arizona or Washington State or somebody that doesn't get a lot of run?
You know, I did the Colorado spring game. They're coming. You know, I mean, this is not just a team that, you know, last year, I get it. You look at their schedule and they kind of hit it right in terms of who they played, who was injured when they played. But I think it's time for us to recognize that they're a really solid program. I mean, they should be a top 25 team, in my opinion. You look at how they've recruited, just what they did last year. I think they brought 10 guys out of the state of Texas, and they were dudes that they beat Texas on. You know, they pull out three of the top receivers in Texas. I think they have the deepest receiving core in the Pac-12 when you look at where these guys can be projected as. And I know what I'm saying. I just called SC's game over the weekend, and they got five dudes that started every school in the Pac-12, in my opinion. So I think that they're a team defensively. Their athletes are better than the guys they lost. I don't know if they're as good at football players right now, meaning can they make the plays on the ball, do those types of things that experience kind of teach you. So I'd go there. I'm pumped to see Utah and see what this new offense is like. You know, obviously a new coordinator coming in from Eastern Washington. So I'm pumped to see what Troy Taylor can do, and can they finish, who's going to be their quarterback. And then it's kind of like the Bruins and Stanford are interesting ones to me. They're probably the most compelling teams. Stanford, they're so much longer than people give them credit for, in my opinion. You know, we always think power run, they're just going to bloody you, but I was there last weekend or 2 weeks ago, and they're so athletic on the defensive side. And, you know, that's where you kind of win in this league. So I'm excited for them and then for the Bruins and Josh and this entire offensive staff. I'm going to watch them tomorrow morning for the first time this spring. But I can't wait to see their development because there's so much intrigue as L.A.'s got two of the, you know, I think two top 10 draft picks next year in Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold.
We saw with Chip Kelly and Rich Rod coming in, you know, all the spread stuff, and then now we've seen kind of an adjustment to that. What's the football going to look like in this conference next season, maybe the next couple seasons? Do you see the trend heading somewhere?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that you have to look at the quarterback play now. You know, this year it's going to be pretty impressive. I mean, we just mentioned those two guys in L.A., and then I think Luke Falk, guys I've talked to in the league, you know, he could be a late first-round draft pick. Who knows, you know, Jake Browning, obviously he could be special. Hopefully he gets healthy again. There's a lot of players, you know, when we look at that stuff. And I look at offense now, and I think the NFL's influence is pretty impressive in terms of we thought they would shift. I definitely thought it would shift, and it hasn't. I've talked to guys in the league, and they say, you know, we talk to these quarterbacks coming out, and we interview them, and they say all the right stuff on the board because, you know, their season ends, and they went to X school that's a spread team, and they get trained up by George Whitfield or Jordan Palmer, a variety of these quarterback trainers who are awesome, and they have it memorized. But do they really know it? Have they really dissected defenses? Have they really seen rotations? Can they really identify fronts in real time? And a lot of the times you can't because you just haven't done it. So I think you're going to start to see that shift a little bit. You know, tune in this weekend on the Pac-12 Network. I'm doing the Cal Spring game. And, you know, what Bo Baldwin is doing is kind of that blend of offense. Right, it's teaching functional football intelligence, the stuff that we used to teach back in the day in high school, but haven't had to in the last decade because it's been about best athlete, get the ball out, make plays in space, and throw it to quote-unquote green grass. Well, I think that you're going to see it turn a little bit because you're seeing young quarterbacks not even get a shot in the league anymore or not thrive when they get there. And the ones that have are either ridiculously smart and savvy or have been trained in that style of system. And you know, this draft's going to be interesting because Davis Webb is a great example. He may not be a first-round type of quarterback, but he's got first-round intangibles in terms of how he knows the game. I can't wait to see where he gets picked and what a team does because he could be a backup for 6-7 years versus some of these other guys that are hyped up earlier who may not have been exposed to that type of system.
When I talk to Larry Scott, he talks about the facilities that everybody in the conference has going and that there are a lot of advantages to being in the Pac-12. There's always been the perception that Washington State and Oregon State were the have-nots, or maybe they, you know, they had some recruiting challenges given their geography. Do you see that, or has that leveled out with everybody getting facilities?
Well, I think it's leveled out with facilities, and now look out with these new recruiting rules, man. I mean, it's going to change the game. And I say that because if I could take my official visit in April to Pullman, or even April to, you know, Corvallis, or April even to Seattle, if I'm an Arizona school, a warm weather school, that is not a great thing because now I can't say, well, you went there in December and it was pouring rain, man. Come here for the sunshine, right? I mean, you're going to see a shift in elements and to your point of the facilities. And we could look at the schools you mentioned. You look at Colorado and up and down the entire coast. I mean, everybody's changing and they're continually adding and evolving. So I think these new recruiting rules are going to be really interesting in terms of the entire landscape. And you might see the rich get richer at times. And then I think the one benefit for the smaller schools, the Wazoos, the Oregon States, is they're not going to let kids play with them, you know, because they're going to sign. And that's going to be how it's going to be, because this early signing period, I think, will be critical, where they won't be waiting on a kid. And more importantly, they won't get SC coming in and stealing a receiver late. You know, if the kid wants to waiver, they can just move on and go get somebody in. And I would bet those types of schools, the mid-level of these Pac-12 schools, I bet majority of their signing classes are done in that December signing period.
It's so funny you brought that up. 3 years ago, Rich Rod came on the show. He wanted to come on. It was pouring rain here. And listen to what he said. He said this. He had three different mentions like this.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like up in Portland right now, but it's 75 and sunny again in Tucson. So just being outside and enjoying the weather is really fun.
I mean, he kept bringing that.
You know, we got beautiful weather, so when spring ball gets over, I'll get that there a couple times.
He kept talking about the weather, talking about the weather. You're right. You're right.
Thanks. Yeah, these new rules are going to be really fun to watch. And what I hope happens is the NCAA really enforces on them, you know, specifically around the no contact period. And I hope they still have some more changes coming. I would love, you know, to me, the only bummer in college football is that if I'm a college basketball coach, I could be Coach K and go watch a kid play in Las Vegas. But I can't be Willie Taggart and go watch a kid compete at the opening right down the street. I mean, that to me is a bummer for the student athlete. I could be a volleyball coach, and I could literally coach a kid. And I could be a Nike school, and I could coach a kid with an Adidas jersey on him. Like, how is that even close to being fair? So I hope that rule gets altered. But overall, I thought the rules were pretty impressive in terms of what was changed.
Yogi Roth, you're the best, man. I appreciate your time.
Anytime, brother. Talk to you soon.